You sway with him. Bob Ivory, the first time in the WFSK Artist Spotlight. Yes. How are you? You doing good today?
I am well. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. I have you on the other line. And I just commented a few minutes ago to X. I said, don't even mind you of Frank McComb. You look like
Frank.
Yeah, you
Frank, that's my guy. You know,
he's
from Cleveland as well.
Oh, my God. I mean, when, you know, if I look at you without my glasses, I'm like, Frank. That's a high compliment to even be in the house with Frank.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
Well, and you're from Cleveland?
Yes, from Cleveland, Ohio, by way of Arkansas. Born in Lake Village, Arkansas, a little small town southeast of Little Rock.
And how long have you been in the Cleveland area?
Pretty much all my, you know, I came to Cleveland as a child, and I was adopted, so I pretty much know Cleveland as my home,
mm-hmm.
and but frequent Arkansas literally every year since I was a child. But yeah, I've been in Cleveland all my life, all my adult life.
Okay, so what, Bob? As you know, you're just smooth and all, see, and you know that's the Frank thing for me.
Yeah.
And because I remember when you first came out and everything,
mm-hmm.
and you know your rep. Your record rep, he's like, Shannon, you know, I said, you know, look, I don't care what you said, Neil. just, I'm going to go by what my ears tell me. And so, you know, we have had almost every one of the singles that you have released from years back. That, and we've been there with you. And I said, it is time to put this brother in the spotlight. We're honored to have you with us via phone line. And Bob is got his latest release entitled Now Is the Time, keyboardist, vocalist. And did you notice that when you were you know, the Cleveland music scene, and you know, people like Frank and others that are part of that musical vibe there, what kind of vibe do you have going for you?
Well, I think Cleveland is a melting pot of a variety of vibes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have jazz, you have the R&B, you have those that play straight ahead jazz,
mm-hmm.
You have some fusion. There's just a variety. You have Latin jazz, so I think it's an area, because it's such a diverse community,
mm-hmm.
then I think music, you know, reflects that.
Well, when Frank was there, you know, did you run into him any of the time that, or any of the other, you know, well-known Clevelanders in the region to, you know, work with or anything like that?
Yeah, I never worked with Frank. I remember him, I'm a few years, you know, his senior. I remember when Frank was in high school, when he was at the School of the Arts. And he was notorious keyboardist and vocalist then.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when he, you know, went on and traveled and so forth, have been following him for years. Never had an opportunity to work with him, but our paths have crossed, like in the studio, recording sessions and so forth. But he definitely is a pillar, you know, in Cleveland as far as his artistry.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna have to call him. I done said his name so much,
because
that's gonna be an all day conversation. But I'm gonna say that I met someone who respects and admires your work. Yeah, definitely. Now, Bob, you have, I think, wasn't it in 16 or 17, you kind of burst out there, you know, in your own way. You didn't come out hard. You didn't come out sounding like everybody else. Praise the Lord. And, I mean, it's just like, come on, y'all. Some of y'all, like, really, y'all, really. And I know they're trying, but just don't sound just like everybody else. You were just so, just, you know, cool, mellow, you know. Is that the way you've always been?
That has been my vibe as long as I can remember. Mm-hmm. I've always attracted to soft, mellow, laid-back sounds, you know, heavy and harmony, very melodic. I think it comes from, you know, some of my influences, from Stevie Wonder to Babyface, Michael Franks, you know, some of those smooth Motown artists. So I think I kind of grew up listening to a certain sound, a certain timbre, you know, just sticks out to me. So when I began to, you know, train classically and then start writing music and singing, that's how it came out. And you're right, I definitely, you know, don't really have a sound that's similar to most. However, I'm influenced by a lot, but I think based on the texture of my voice, which is laid back, and then my musicianship is pretty, you know, I'm not one of those, you know, you're not going to see me on stage, you know, rocking out or anything. Pretty much what you hear is what you get. I'm pretty much, you know, laid back and kind of that in the pocket kind of musician.
Well, you know, I could tell that, and maybe that's why I was like, you know, he's a cool dude. And, you know, when I was making my assessment, because you're, you know, considered as, to me, as merging, even though you've had, you know, four or five really great songs, the average person doesn't know who you are yet.
Correct.
And so, you know, here we're just doing our part, just plugging away at WFSK. And that is the beauty of what we do, Bob. It gives us the opportunity to, you know, step out and, you know, not on, this what you got to do. No, it's not. You know, we're not going with that one. That playbook played out. So, you know, I'm looking for a very solid sound that, you know, has, for the people, just paints a picture. And I believe that you do that with your music. And I asked your rep, I said, is that really him saying, or he got somebody else doing it?
No, Millie here. That's all the tracks, but busting all my own background. Yeah, that's all me.
Well, you sound good.
Thank you.
And maybe that's why I thought about Frank, because you are keys and vocal. And and writing and all that kind of stuff. And which one of those three, you probably do some producing as well.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you know, you hone your skills the best at, Bob?
I would probably say the songwriting aspect. I think that's the comes probably most natural to me, because I'm probably a storyteller, you know, just by trade. I work with young people, so I'm always, you know, focusing on messaging and, you know, what kind of, you know, what's the message? What is it I'm trying to convey? So I think the songwriting aspect may be, you know, maybe my first or my strongest suit. And then I'm a keyboardist. I play piano. I play pipe organ, study classical music. And then now singing, that's just something to be honest, I get tired of finding someone to sing my songs or demo my songs or stop songs. And I just started, somebody said, hey, man, why don't you sing it yourself? And I'm like, well, why would I want to do that? But then I did it, and then I took it down to the station. It was The Wave at the time in Cleveland, 107.3, and let the program director hear it. And next thing I know, I've been on the airwaves ever since.
That's beautiful. And with your releases coming out the way they have been over the last few years, the steam is starting to build up for you, though, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's been a blessing. It's a true godsend, I believe. It definitely favor, you know, lounging around my craft. And I'm making start to do some film production. So, yeah, this is a good season for me, and I'm just trying to continue to, you know, grow as an artist and different people, and I'm not beyond collaborating and co-writing, co-producing. So I'm just flowing with it, just, you know, going with the time.
Well, that makes sense, because that's how you sound. you know, I bet you like that at home and stuff. You know, when you're just in the Bob Ivory set, you know, you're just doing you, right?
Oh yeah. When I'm at home, I call it the man cave, and my studio is right there, and I'll light a couple of those, and you know, I don't do the heavy Pepsi and pop like I used to. I was diagnosed with diabetes this time last year, and I was in hospital for a while, so. Some ice water and throw a lemon in there, dim the lights, and then I just go at it.
Whatever it takes, brother. Just, you know, you do that. How has that diagnosis changed your thought process in terms of, you know, you write and you arrange and all that? Things mean more to you now?
It means everything to me. That's a great question, because I didn't know I was diabetic. I went to the hospital, and then they kept me, stayed there for a week until they got it under control. So I've had to change my whole diet, my regimen. I've lost 40 pounds over the last year. So, yeah, it was a life change. It was also kind of scary because of how high my numbers were. But, yeah, it literally just kind of allowed me to put life in another perspective, and that's why I don't have a problem with, you know, releasing as many projects as I do, or being, you know, venture out into doing, you know, try different styles, and because life is just so precious, and that experience taught me that. And so I think what it did was, you know, put me in a mindset to continue to try new things, because every day is so precious.
Well, and, you know, all the titles of your songs, I think, are speaking that volume as well. Am I correct in that?
You are 100% correct. I write what I feel. I remember early in my days, in my early 20s, that I would write and go to different studios, and people say, when you write, you're too personal. You need to be able to just look at something and just write about it and not have to have a direct connection, and I just can't write like that. Everything that I write and every song that I have is a personal meaning, is something that I'm even affected by, or has affected someone else, something I expect, or something I feel someone else, you know, would like to share. And that's probably 99.9% of my songs are something that I can personally identify with.
Now, the song Sway With Me, you know, I was like, man, that is so sweet. All of the, you know, it's like, that kind of reminds me of, you know, when, you know, folks are all up in love and all that. So, you know, I'm about to dip in your business. So, Frank, is this about you and your woman, or what?
Well, to me, Sway With Me came from, it was really, I can't really say it was about, you know, a specific person when I wrote it. I think at the place that I was at the time, I was so appreciative to just spending that time with someone, almost like date night, you know, and just that whole element of just being into someone. And for me, you know, I'm not the best dancer in the world. You know, I'm not real flamboyant. I just sway, I just move from side to side, and that's kind of what the song reflects. And it, and when I go out, I'm just, you know, that kind of energy when I'm, you know, in someone's company. And so that kind of where that came from. Sway with me is almost like the quintessential date.
Okay, because I think that works for a lot of people. That's why I was saying that. You know, I think that really does work for a lot of folks, you know.
I'm old school, so I'm all about the two-step. That's so true. I got that down.
Okay, let's see, for the young ones, you know, ask your mom and them.
Right.
And you might learn some things. Now, Bob, you have the My Brother cut. I remember that one you did well on as well. Now, you have also, I think, in your time in the business, you also have been doing music that kind of is reflective of the times. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I think that probably comes from being that child of the 70s, growing up, you know, born with that child of the 70s that still remembers, you know, how poignant music was then, and it, somehow we kind of got away from that a little bit. So Mother was my attempt to try to revisit that whole kind of Marvin Gaye, Curtis Mayfield, Isaac Hayes, those type of writers that had, there was something in that song, something in that message that was really talking about what was happening right then and there. So My Brother was, you know, by no means am I, you know, likening myself to a Marvin Gaye, but if there was a modern day vibe, I was trying to kind of come up with that through that song to say, look, what's going on? And I'm saying My Brother parenthetically, brothers, sisters, all, you know, of course I'm speaking to people that look like me, but I'm really trying to say to everybody, look what's going on out here, what are we going to do about it, because something's going on that needs to, that we need to address, My Brother.
No question about it. Now, in your video, I think it was you, one of y'all sent that to me, or Neil or somebody. Didn't you do a video that was reflective of the time when was controversy, or not controversy, but when there were unrest on the streets and, you know, police shootings and things of that nature? That was you, right?
Yeah, that was the Now's the Time video. Okay. Now's the Time was really on the heels of all of the tragic death, murders of black men and women of law enforcement, and that just did something to me where I needed to speak to that. I might not be the person that's gonna maybe be marching or maybe protesting. My platform is maybe a little different. And I think the combination of all those voices is what makes change. So I took to music and I took to imagery and showing through that video all these things that have happened. And now is the time, you know, Dr. King said it was a urgency, and now that was over 50 some years ago. So what time is it now if it was urgent 50 years ago to do something? You know, now is the time the concept changed.
Well, it's past time. No, that's what time it is. It's past time, okay? Now's the time. Past time, y'all. Past time. Let's get this thing done. For real. And also, in addition to that, did you do some gospel jazz projects, too, or something?
Yeah. There's a song on projects ago. I think it's on the Sway With Me album. It's called What God Has Done, and that was kind of my gospel jazz, you know, expression. I wrote a book a few years back called What God Has Done, and it's pretty much inspirational testimonies of things that I've addressed and things that I've overcome, things that I've been challenged with over my life, and I had a I would know what to say, it almost like a near-death experience, battling some of my demons years back. And so out of that came the book, What God Has Done. But before the book, What God Has Done, it was the song, because after I came out of a real dark moment in my life, I have no doubt God placed that song on me to say, you know, look what I've done, and which is to say, there's look at what I am going to do. Mm-hmm. But first have to understand, you know, what God has done, yeah, to understand what it is he's capable of doing.
Amen. Go on with your sermon. I'll hear you, son. Go on. I'm just saying. Now, go ahead and send me that song, Bob, because we have a gospel jazz show on Sundays from 12 to 2 called Joy and Jazz. And I'm always combing the earth.
All right.
I'm looking everywhere. I'm holding down on the ground there. Give me that song. So you just go ahead and send that to me, and it's in. And I appreciate that, and any others that you come out with, go ahead and slide those in here, too. Because I know for some of the artists that have, you know, a faith story or a faith journey, you know, used to be afraid to, you know, do certain things. But I noticed it back in the day, George Duke and them used to slide a song in. And, mm-hmm, you know, way back when, and... And so, you know, those are just jewels. You know, different people have done that over the years because it wasn't politically correct. It depends, right, on who you're talking to. that's for real. But knowing that that's the case, did you do a full-blown project?
Not a solo project. I've done a gospel album. Like, I've produced a gospel album on other artists. But for myself, no, I didn't do a full gospel jazz. Like you said, I just kind of slipped that song in. And that's pretty much my way and my, almost my testimony and also my reverence to God. If I'm going to put out an album, I am going to thank you on this album. Mm-hmm. That song. Each of my projects has a, you know, spiritually related, faith-based message song in there. And I'm going to always do that, and nothing could ever, you know, I wouldn't do a project where I couldn't, you know, express my faith and through my music.
Yeah, that's what's up. Now, Bob, you have, I just love Buried Treasure, okay? Mm. I'm like, that's what puts you over the top with me. Okay, because I said, huh, I love that song. Talk to him, let's get this done. And here you are. So, what's the story behind Buried Treasure?
Buried Treasure came to be, and it was around the time where I decided to pursue music, you know, more. Like I said, I've written for years, I'm in the studio, mm-hmm, that chase a record deal, chase a publishing deal guy for forever, and never really accomplished or achieved that level of success that, you know, most artists, writers, are trying to do. And then something just said, well, you're looking outside of yourself. You're looking for someone to discover you. You're looking for someone to, you know, blow one of your songs up. You're looking for a label to sign you. And something that said, look inside of you. There's a treasure in you. Tap into it and just release it. So the moment I did that was the moment I began to have more success and more gratification. So Buried Treasure is really a message not just for me, but it's for everyone. God gave you something, and it's inside of you, and it can sustain you. It will deliver you. It's something that you only you can do, and it's already in you. All you have to do is tap into it, and it could be buried. It could be staring you right in the face. But for me, it was buried inside, and I did not know that everything that I needed, I already had.
Well, there you go. See, you got a whole lot in you. You're just laying it down in here today. I mean... You just really, truly are. And, you know, I like your honesty, Bob. I really, really do. And I think that, you know, for some people that is just a hit, you know, just hit the ball out the park, because, you know, we're seeking a nice sound here. You know, this is where I like to think of the station as the decompression zone. And, you know, because the world can beat you up and throw you down and put you in the garbage disposal. But I want the station to be the oasis, you know, for, you know, just unplug yourself for a few minutes. Let's go get your blood pressure straight. Let's get you calmed down for a few minutes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So how do you think the music, what impact do you think it has on people?
I think music is everything. I think music is, I can't even imagine what life would be without it.
Mm-hmm.
Not just from a standpoint of where it relaxes people, or it's what they listen to when they're driving or mm-hmm. when they come home. I think that it is just an expressive tool mm-hmm. that allows people to find a voice. It allows, you know, for them to, you know, be stimulated. And I think music means different things to different people.
Mm-hmm.
But that to them, it just what gets them hyped or allows them to something to dance to. For me, music actually it releases emotion that I have no other format to release it. I mean, there this real grief where I learned I was adopted in my sophomore year in college.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a song that Stevie Wonder had on his In Square Circle album. It's called Where's the Missing One.
Mm-hmm.
I would listen to probably 50 times a day as if he wrote it for me. But it was what released all these emotions inside of me mm-hmm. just by listening to that song and those lyrics. So music is transformative, and I think that it's that way for a lot of people.
Oh, definitely. Well, we need to go to a place today, and that's why the spotlight is on singer, songwriter, producer, arranger Bob Ivory. Emerging, but he ain't playing, y'all.
okay.
Yeah, he's not, you know, and I'm just, you know, I'm really happy to have your cuts in our collection. They sound lovely. And oh yeah, definitely. And Bob, tell our audience how to pick up the Now's the Time and interview other music, and you know, to keep up with you and stuff.
Absolutely. But thanks again. I really appreciate this opportunity. This means the world to me. I'm on all music platforms. Digital platforms, iTunes, Amazon, Pandora, iHeartRadio, YouTube Music. You just plug my name in on any platform. You can come up and please follow me on my social media page, Bob Ivory Music 1, Instagram, and also Bob Ivory on Facebook. BobIvoryMusic.com is my website. I would love to engage with your audience. I love you and I appreciate that you appreciate my music.
Oh, definitely. Well, we have some of the world's greatest that listen to WFSK, okay?
Right.
And I tell them all the time, so they clear on that. And that's
okay.
Locally and regionally and globally. So,
awesome.
You know, they found us, and, you know, we are just tickled to death to have our audience listening. And they know what they're going to get. You know, I'm not playing Wonder What today. And no one has time. we just don't have it. Anyway, Bob Ivory. And, you know, I just love it. I'm just, you know, I feel like swaying right now. I don't know. You know, got me thinking about it. I'll be on this swaying thing all day, man. Anyway, Bob, thank you so much. And we'll continue to listen and to support your music, okay?
Thank you so much. God bless all of you.
God bless you, and you have a good rest of the day.
All right, you do the same. Take care.
All right, bye-bye. Just a real solid and down-to-earth brother, and, you know, I'm glad that we was able to pull this one through and, excuse me, put the spotlight on Bob, keyboardist Bob Ivory. But, you know, he lost 40 pounds. That's good. You know, he had a lot of work to do to get that done, but his health was very, very important. And a lot of people have, you know, been in the struggle with health and other things. So that's a word.